Hey, this is Macy Gray, and you are listening to OC Caravan with Scott Hayes and Jim Bass.
Come on.
Hello. You're listening to KX93.5 FM, Laguna's only FM. Excuse me, I'm Scott Hayes, and this, of course, is Radio Caravan. And yes, I can hear myself. Thank you, Miss April. Hey, by the way, OC Caravan appears on Cox Channel 3, 8 p.m. Saturdays, 12 noon Sundays, every weekend. We reach roughly 250,000 cable subscribers in Orange County and Palos Verdes. This weekend, I'm pretty sure we have the Chris Mulkey, the actor, singer, songwriter. What's going on?
You said Radio Caravan.
Oh, okay. We're going to reslate everybody. Ready? All right. I'm Scott Hayes, and this is OC Caravan. And we appear on Cox Channel 3, 8 p.m. Saturdays, 12 noon Sundays. This weekend, I believe it's the Chris Mulkey actor, singer, songwriter, who was probably the most uninhibited person we've ever had in this studio. And then we also have Jim McAleer with the Alzheimer's Association of Orange County and Wing Lam, owner of Wahoo's Fish Tacos, which is a great show as well. And Jim's back in the studio. We're going to talk to him in about 2 minutes. But by the way, our show also was on last night. By the way, I'm here with my co-host, Jill Harvey.
Good morning.
It was on last night at 8 p.m.
Wow.
Yeah, which means we were down in San Diego, we were in Riverside, and we were in Santa Barbara.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I didn't even know.
As it should be.
As it should be. Yeah. I didn't even know it was coming on. So you can also, of course, like us on Facebook online. So, Jill, how are you, young lady?
You know, good. Going every day. And what would we say? Every day above ground is a good day, right?
Yes. Every day above ground.
I think Pitbull said that.
Is that true?
It's in his song recently. Every day above ground is a good day. Breathing. So, yeah.
All right.
And how are you?
I'm okay. Yeah, I'm hanging in there. And we have engineer April Johnson.
Hey, good morning.
And, of course, we have the film crew. Hey, you're going to want to stick around for our show. We've got Jim McAleer we're going to talk to here briefly with the Alzheimer's Association of Orange County to talk about a new project that he's working on, that he's excited about. I hope he's going to say he's excited about it. Yes?
Of course I'm going to say I'm excited about it.
And we also have coming in from the Real Housewives of Orange County, Eddie and Tamara. I don't even think I have to give a last name.
No, you don't.
Yeah, Eddie and Tamara from the Real Housewives of Orange County, which we'll be talking to them in about 10 or 15 minutes. So in the studio is Jim McAleer, President, CEO of Orange Alzheimer's Association Orange County. Right, Jim?
That's it. I haven't checked my email this morning, but yesterday I was. So I think I'm still there.
And, of course, he has that beautiful radio voice as well. So, hey, Jim, I wanted to talk briefly about your organization before we talk about this contest. You're involved with. I want you to talk about a little bit about why Alzheimer's and caretakers, how your organization, association helps people who suffer from Alzheimer's and dementia and their caretakers.
Got it.
Yeah.
So when you think that there's about 84,000 people who experience this disease in Orange County, it's a tremendous number of people when you add their caregivers in. You think there's one, probably two caregivers for most of our folks.
Right.
Largely women who have the disease and women who are caregivers. You know, most of our folks are cared for at home, and very few people have the resources, the knowledge, or the experience. You don't get a manual when you get this diagnosis. It's not here's how to. It's kind of like teenagers, right? You figure it out as you go along. Our job as an organization is to be there 24/7. We have a 24/7 helpline, and at ALZ.org, our website, there's a tremendous amount of information, not just on how to be a better caregiver, but on where to go for resources, how to find a good doctor, what questions should you ask your doctor. There's so many things that hit you when you get this diagnosis. You don't know what to do. Well, we are your manual, basically.
You're the one-stop location for people to go to, definitely, yeah?
Well, I certainly hope we're the first stop because there's so many great organizations, programs, physicians out there. We just want to be the connector. We want to be the conduit.
Yeah. And then Alzheimer's, dementia, that's a big, broad umbrella, right?
Well, dementia is the umbrella. Think of dementia like you think of cancer, and Alzheimer's like you might think of breast cancer or prostate cancer. So dementia is the overlying term that says it's a neurological condition that impacts the brain. Alzheimer's is the most common form, and after that's vascular dementia. But it's really not as important what kind of dementia somebody has. It's what's the impact on the family.
Right, and oftentimes that's often not talked about, the impact on the families and the caretakers. That's a lot of work for people, isn't it?
It is a lot of work for people, and most folks, it's a bit like mental illness in this country. We don't like to talk about the tough stuff, do we?
Yeah.
We don't like to admit that we need help.
Yeah.
So with this disease, a lot of folks, particularly the person who has it, doesn't want to talk about it early. It's changing a bit with Glenn Campbell, Pat Summitt, some of those folks being more public. Reagan was our first. As more of that happens, you'll see more people talking about it.
Yeah. So you raise funds. You go around, and one of your jobs, one of your primary responsibilities is raising funds for the organization. Can you let viewers and listeners know how those funds are distributed?
Sure. You know, we're like any business. We have to keep the lights on, and we have to pay staff. So our biggest fundraisers are our walks to end Alzheimer's. Our biggest is at Angel Stadium, 10,000 people last year.
Wow.
So how they're distributed, we use as much as we can for programs, services, and research. So our overhead's about 23%. It's pretty credible for most folks, right? Research, we're the largest chapter in the nation. We're an independent chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. We funded more research than any other chapter in the country.
Wow.
In the last 2 years, we funded over $2.5 million of research. But at the end of the day, you have to care for people today. You have to answer that helpline. You have to do the 47 support groups we offer. You know, you have to handle people in four languages here in Orange County. And those funds go to do those things.
Yeah.
Is there any hope with the research, anything coming up on the horizon?
You know, there's hope in the programs and services first, right? So we can help you today.
Absolutely.
As far as the disease goes in research, what we're learning more and more is it's probably going to be about prevention. It's about getting things into people's systems earlier so that we don't hit the onset of this disease rather than trying to impact it after. That doesn't mean there's not hope for folks who have it. There is. There are probably disease-modifying things that will slow it down in the pipeline. A couple of research articles that just popped out this week talking about innovations.
Yeah,
we're a bit away from it.
About type 3 diabetes, that's what they want to call it, that it has something to do with insulin reaction and inflammation into the brain. So I don't know your thoughts on that or if that's been researched at
you
all.
Do your reading. Well
yeah,
done.
She's
was my
good.
Yeah.
Type 2 diabetes is a really strong precursor potential for Alzheimer's. So they do often refer to it as type 3 diabetes, not just for the inflammation response, which is there, but also because there's some glucose implications.
Exactly.
One of the drugs that we use now to treat it actually acts on glutamate in the brain.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, so we're actually here because your show with Wing is this weekend, but we're actually here for another reason, and that's sort of the launch of this, what we're going to call songwriting contest, right?
That's it.
Yeah, and can you define the contest, exactly what it is?
You know, I can define the research question so much better than I can define this one. Because, you know, we're still in some of the planning stages of this.
Okay.
But, what I can tell you is, first of all, it's your brainchild and idea, so really I'm going to refer to you on some of it. So many folks in Orange County, and particularly in Laguna, have just such a wonderful experience with putting thoughts and feelings to music.
Right.
So throughout Southern California, we're going to invite folks to do a song about Alzheimer's. You know, for some, that's going to be something that might be sad. Right? For some, it actually might be a hopeful message because they were able to connect with their loved one through this process. But at the end of the day, it'll help bring exposure to the organization and exposure to the artist. We have some great sponsors who've offered studio time, air time, and the winner will actually get to perform at our 10,000-person walk at Angel Stadium.
Yeah. So let's sort of define the parameters here. We're going to reach out to the local musicians. We're going to ask them to submit an original song that speaks to the issues of Alzheimer's. And it'll be sort of a raw song, a guitar and a singer, a piano and a singer. And then the winner will pick a winner based on, you know, a panel of experts that sort of speaks to those issues effectively. And then that person or that band will be able to go into a studio for free and record their time at the studio for 8 hours to record that song. They're going to participate on this show. We'll bring them in to discuss about the song, and we'll be able to revisit these issues of Alzheimer's. And there'll also be some other types of awards available to these people, perhaps gifts from other organizations or companies. And then this performing in front of 10,000 people just blows me away.
Wow.
It's not a bad thing, right?
That's not
you
got to
figure
thing.
Wing Lamb's at the table.
Yeah,
and if you've ever worked with Lang, one of the things you can be sure of is there's going to be lots of props and premiums.
Yeah.
So even for entering, I'm sure we can con more than a few fish tacos out of Mr. Lamb. And if you're listening, Wing, that's more than a few fish tacos.
And Wing's a very charismatic guy, and he had some great ideas when we had this discussion about a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, so Wing Lamb, I mentioned this before, Wahoo's, Cakes 93.5, of course, is a sponsor of it as well, Laguna Sound Studio, OC Music Awards, etc. And the winners, again, we're going to be announcing this probably within the next 30 to 45 days, would you say?
Yeah, I think that's probably about right.
Yeah. And where would people go to learn more about the contest? Are they going to end up at your website?
The easiest and quickest place is ALZ.org. Again, that's ALZ.org, right. Alzheimer's. And we'll have a link up probably within a week to 2 weeks.
Oh, really? It'll be that quickly?
Yeah. Well, we'll have an initial link that'll tell you what the process is.
Right.
So if we don't have all the forms done or exactly know where to go, we can give you time frames. So within a couple of weeks, pop on ALZ.org and see what's happening.
That's great, yeah.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting, and I just love the idea of bringing music to the table, and I think we were both sort of inspired by Glen Campbell, and he came out. Do you remember the title of the song, by the way?
I'll Be Me, I believe.
I'm Not Gonna Miss You.
I'm Not Gonna Miss You, yeah.
I think the documentary's I'll Be Me, right? The song's I'm Not Gonna Miss You. Yeah,
yeah, and he's got a documentary coming
amazing.
Out.
Amazing, and we also have Still Alice happening right now.
That's right.
So that's getting a ton of press, and you know, that actually helps us. Anytime somebody talks about it, it helps.
Yeah, very cool. Jim McAleer, President, CEO, Alzheimer's Association, Orange County. It's always a pleasure to have you in the studio. You're very charismatic.
I am charismatic and have a radio voice. I should call my mother.
You have a radio voice as well.
It's a good day.
All right, I'm Scott Hayes. This is OC Caravan. We're going to take a 1 to 2 minute short musical break, and we're coming back with Eddie and Tamara from the Real Housewives of Orange County. April, take us out of here.
I woke up and got this morning.
All right, you're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. We good to go, everybody? Go ahead. What's happening? Talk to me.
You guys have your own mics.
Okay, everybody's got their own mics. Great, here we go.
One, two.
Thank you. All right, I'm Scott Hayes, and this is OC Caravan. And in the studio, I'm here, by the way, with my co-host, Miss Jill Harvey.
Yay. It's exciting.
In the studio, we have Eddie and Tamara, no last name needed, from the Orange County Housewives. And, you know, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I don't get up this early for too many people.
I appreciate that. Wow. We were out there about a month or two ago at your fitness facility shooting some B-roll, et cetera. So that's why we thought, you know, let's get you on the radio show and talk about some things related to the studio, fitness, some of the other things that are going on with the videotapes, et cetera. Right?
What videotape?
We're going to talk about that. That
sexual
sex videotape. But I want to talk... I want to talk first about the housewives. I want to kind of give people a sense of a little bit of the background there. Okay. And so I'm trying to figure out what I could ask that hasn't already been asked, right, about that particular show. And these are simple questions, so don't get nervous on me. Yeah. But, Eddie, I wanted to start with you.
Great.
Yeah. And I wanted to know, you know, looking back on that experience of being married in front of a televised audience, right? I don't know, how many, 2 million people? From a groom's perspective, what was that like?
I tried not to think about it because that means I would probably choke when she said, "Do you take?"
Yeah. Well, actually, he tried not to have it filmed, is what he's really saying.
Yeah.
He wasn't really up for it to be filmed.
Right.
He kind of fought it the whole way.
And you know, as a groom, I would probably be in the same position. Yeah.
Well, here's
until
the,
you
here's
see
the
paycheck.
Here's the gig.
Is that true?
I wanted a small wedding. You know,
yeah.
We both wanted a nice beach
small.
Wedding. And she had already had
you
her big
the beach.
Wedding. And
no,
it ended up being an amazing, magical experience.
Sure.
Good answer.
Yeah, it was amazing.
If you could have changed one thing about it, what would you have changed?
Probably having more people there.
Really?
Yeah. We were very limited in space and location. But
so we had to cut a lot of people out.
How many people did you have?
We had about there was probably about 75, maybe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that, yeah.
And then the 2 million people that were watching.
And then the 2 million people that were watching.
Yeah. Did you do any after party, though, to include more guests in the celebration?
No, we had...
It was all controlled, limited production. Yeah.
Have you thought about maybe doing a smaller, more intimate sort of thing?
That was the plan.
That was the plan.
That was exactly the plan, because we thought this is for TV. This is going to be just a show, and it ended up being actually very magical, no drama.
We were expecting not to have the emotion, you know, like you're having this wedding. It was you, because when there's a camera in front of you, you're kind of acting, even though you're not acting. You put up an act, right?
That's fair.
So we thought that we would go away and have like a small wedding, like in Cabo or something like that. But we still haven't had a honeymoon because we're so busy. So that didn't happen.
Yeah, okay.
But we were very satisfied and happy with the wedding.
Yeah. And the paycheck, you kind of smiled and giggled.
The paycheck didn't suck either.
It's always nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got paid to get married to
Daddy.
That's hysterical. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah.
Just kidding.
Hooker.
Here we go. Here we go. We're going to get to the sex tape in a little bit, all right? Tamara, so I guess one of my questions I wanted to open with you with is, why do people do reality TV?
I think for different reasons, for sure. I think there's a lot of people that do reality TV because they have a lot of businesses they want to promote.
Sure.
It's a huge platform. There's so much you can do with it. And I think once you start doing it, I've been doing it for 8 years now, some people might say it's a drug. Mm-hmm. You just get used to putting your life out there on TV, and there's like a huge disconnect because you feel like everything you do should be public.
Right.
I'm not exactly the type of person that holds things in. I speak my mind, and I'm not too embarrassed or ashamed to put too much out there, and I figure people are people, and they relate to me because I'm very open and honest.
Right. It takes a unique personality, I think, to kind of get through that reality TV process, and my thinking would be sort of, you know, all of that feedback and people's reaction to events and statements got to be really uncomfortable sometimes, yes?
You know what, yes. In the very beginning, it was kind of devastating. Yeah. There's certain things that do go on in your life. Throughout the 8 years I've been on the show, that are hard to become public. Yeah. And everything you do have happen to you, if you have a court case or a death or an ex that's not very nice to you and things like that, it all becomes public. And sometimes it's embarrassing.
Right, yeah. Eddie, I've watched the show, of course, you know, and you never quite feel completely comfortable in that environment. Or am I misreading that?
No, you're right. I generally run from drama. I don't like drama, and this show has been driven by drama. So as soon as I see the volcano about to erupt, that's when I exit stage left.
And is that how it works for you? You sort of kind of get out of the scene and move away?
Yeah, there's no reason for me to.
He's
be
usually
involved.
Standing behind the camera guy. He knows that's the only safe place there is.
Yeah.
They won't film me there.
It's actually hilarious. There were scenes from early on. How long have you been on the show now? Is this your fourth year?
I don't know, first.
The first year, you would see him, as soon as drama, he'd be dodging the camera. You can actually see him dodging the camera.
Great.
Now he's a little bit more. I used to like it when he didn't talk. Now he talks.
Yeah. But, Eddie, you've never had a drama scene that I can that I know of or read of.
Stripper?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
It wasn't my fault.
That's right.
Not my idea.
Not.
Yeah. Any regrets, though, Eddie, doing the reality TV show? Or did you kind of realize the benefits and the platform that opened up to you guys as a couple?
There were some benefits. I haven't really seen a huge benefit behind being on TV.
Okay.
I know that I'm living my life being real. I don't want to be a movie star. I don't want to be a TV star.
Yeah.
You know, my goal is to help people get fit, change their lifestyle, live a happy lifestyle.
Yeah.
There's so many challenges in life that health and fitness helps you get past.
Good.
So to be on TV hasn't been my big aspiration. Mm-hmm. I have seen huge opportunities for Tamara. She's awesome on TV. Uh-huh. I think she would be a great host for any show, comedy-wise.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so there might be something for her. But for me, you know, this is not my business. This is not my gig. This is my wife's business.
Well, I don't think either one of us went into the reality show. Well, he came in because he had to. He married me. Mm-hmm. Came along with the job. But I never wanted to be an actress. I didn't want to be on TV. I actually like the behind-the-scenes producing part of it a lot. And neither one of us really feel like, oh, we're on TV, we're stars, or we're reality stars, whatever you want to call us. We just are truly living our life.
Right.
We often forget we're even on TV, and then we'll be out and about, and it's like, can we take pictures? Can we take pictures?
Sure.
And, you know, we just don't really think about it. I mean, there's certain people that are on the show that they are living this. I mean, that's their life.
Right.
The show is their life, and they have no other life besides
so
the show.
So they're truly identified by it.
Yes, yeah. And they want to be an actress, and they want to be known as a reality star. Like, we're just living our life,
okay.
And it's being documented. And it's whatever works for you, right? Yeah.
So I love that, by the way. I love that. And Eddie, I don't know you. I've only met you, I think, the second time. You come across as a really likable person, right? It seems that you come across that way on the reality TV
Unless
show.
He doesn't eat.
Unless he does. He has that low blood sugar
He's
moment.
Got that hangry. That hangry.
That angry male when we haven't eaten.
That hangry moment.
Is that true, Eddie?
I do turn into this... Yeah.
Tamara, is the show an accurate reflection of your personality? Or as you said, is there a little bit of sort of emoting and reacting and a little bit of the acting that goes on as well?
Well, no, it's not. Because what happens is they take a certain percentage of your life, and it's the most heightened part of you. If you are a pot store, they're going to show mostly being a pot store. Unfortunately, my children are not on the show, so you don't get to see me as a mother and all the other things that I do. And they don't really like to follow any kind of charity stuff. And, you know, it's all about the drama. So they're going to take the strongest part of your personality, and they're going to exploit it.
Right.
So, no, it's not. No. Okay. It's probably 50% of who you really are.
Okay. There's some skill involved. There's a lot of great editing. They know what they're doing. They
of
know
course.
What sells.
And yeah.
But the audience feeds on drama.
Yeah.
And when they see that happens, they want more, right?
So. I had a really bad last season. Really, really, really bad. And they know it. And now, starting out this year, we've been filming for about 2.5 months. I've been very, very careful. And I was thinking the other day, I need to stop being so careful. People like me for who I am and speaking my mind.
Right.
It's just, I just got burned so bad. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't want to go through that again. So I'm finally, like, 2.5 months into it. Okay, I'm just going to be me.
Yeah.
Because people like me for me.
That makes sense.
There's that thing Wayne Dyer said. What you think of me is none of my business. So what you think of me is none of my business. So, I'm going to stay removed from that. So,
definitely.
I like that.
So let's get out of the reality TV discussion and move a little bit more into real life discussion, although I'm going to make a smooth transition here. And that is, when we talked about a month or two ago, one of the real sort of detriments to being on reality TV are some of the obscure and weird emails and phone calls that you sort of get, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know that people really appreciate what a couple with children and families and lives have to go through. And you were talking about some incidences that were just a little off and uncomfortable for you. Do you remember that conversation?
I don't remember the incidents we were talking about.
Okay.
You
had talked about people kind of sending you things in the mail, or they keep recalling the fitness club, or they think they know your birthdays. And
Yes. Well, you know, there's good to that and there's bad to that. I definitely get the weirdos that will call my studio, our studio.
Thank you.
My studio.
Chopped liver here.
51%.
Recovery.
And
that's her world. I just live
that's
in.
That's right. Uh-huh. Glad you know that. And they will be just mean. They will say some of the meanest things and disgusting things.
Right.
And they can't. They don't understand that it's real. It's TV. It's there for entertainment purposes. We're all people. Then I have the flip side where I get amazing presents.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 3 times a week. There's always a package sitting on my desk from some fan that is just so sweet and so nice and so thoughtful. So you get just like in life, you get the nasties and you get the sweethearts.
Yeah.
And the nasties just seem to be a little bit more nasty than
most. Eddie, do you get the same sort of reaction from fans or of the show?
He gets no presents.
No presents.
Not even from you?
No.
Yeah, from me.
I don't know. Like she said, we don't get much. I do get this business-related stuff,
You
know, supplements sent to us,
try
this, try that.
Of course.
So, you know, they want us to see if we can put it on TV or
well, there's always an alternative motive. When they're sending me a nice little purse, they're hoping that I'm going to wear it or use it on the show.
Product placement.
Which is fine. Keep sending it. I'll take everything. I support everybody that sends me stuff. I try to put it on the show because I just thought it was so thoughtful of them to do that.
Yeah. I think that's great,
All right, we're going to take a 1-minute musical break. We're going to come back, and I want to get into your fitness facility. I want to talk about this sex tape that's just been released. There's
I don't
a lot
know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh. There's a lot going on. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is OC Caravan. We're here with Eddie and Tamara from The Real Housewives of Orange County. April, take us out. You're listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, and this is OC Caravan. I'm in the studio this morning with my co-host, Jill Harvey. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Jill's got some fans out there in the other room, by the way. Did you see that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're here with Eddie and Tamara from the Real Housewives of Orange County. Hey, by the way, if you have a question, you can call 949-715-5936. That's 949-715-5936. If you have a question for either Eddie or Tamara. We were talking before the break about the reality TV sort of platform and concept, and so we're moving on from that.
Moving on.
Yeah. Really, we got the last 20-25 minutes. I want to talk a little bit about your fitness facility, right?
Yeah.
This is a 6,200 square foot facility, which is a good size facility for this industry.
Yeah.
Cut Fit Fitness in Rancho Santa Margarita, California. And I guess my first question is, why a fitness club when you launched a business? Why not a strip club or a bar?
Well, that's next. What a concept. Uh-huh. I always wanted to open up my own business.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about this before.
We did.
I either wanted to open up a bar or a fitness studio. Yeah. Right?
Gym.
Fitness, whatever. And when I started on The Housewives, after about the 6 year, I'm like, you know what? I need to make my money work for me, and I know the show's not going to be around forever. I think it'd be best to my next contract to open up a business. So I talked to Eddie about it, and he's like, "Yeah, you're on your own."
He didn't say that, did he?
Yeah, he was in the law industry,
really?
So yeah. He's just like, I don't know. And then we tweaked the concept. I think he was really thinking like I wanted to open up like a little Pilates studio or something very girly. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of put our heads together and worked with some people and came up with the Cut Fitness.
It had to be unique. It had to be something that's not already available.
Yeah. Move it up a little bit for you, Eddie. And then there you go.
Yeah, it had to be unique. And that's why unique is in our name, because there's so many gyms out there, so many platforms out there for fitness. And the fitness studio idea came up because I've been in the industry for a long time and know what's going on, and I know what I love to do, and that's group fitness. Anything you can do in a group together is so much more enjoyable and lasts longer in your lifestyle. So if you're doing fitness by yourself, it gets a little bit more difficult unless you're in the industry or you're an athlete and you're doing some form of competition. If you do fitness in a group setting, it's more social but beneficial health-wise, mm-hmm. and you can do it for the rest of your life. What we wanted to do was something that can be available for all ages, all sizes, all health levels, and so they can stick to it for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
So what makes it unique?
Well, I think the uniqueness about it is because we are a studio, and most studios are either a Pilates studio or a cycling studio or a TRX studio. There's nothing out there that has everything under one roof. So a lot of women in my neighborhood especially are like, okay, well, I go to Pilates here and I spend $200 a month there. Then I go to a cycling studio over there. So we have everything from Pilates to cycling to weight training classes to core classes, TRX, just about everything there under one roof.
It's a beautiful facility. It really is. It's nicely laid out. It's beautifully designed. And Eddie, I think you had a good big hand in sort of making that all come together. Mm-hmm. I know you did. But you sort of executed a lot of that planning, Eddie. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. At the end of the day, she was too busy to help me with a lot of things. I just brought some ideas to the table, and she said, yeah. Never know. So I got out of control, and I got this big studio and, awesome stereo system.
Yeah.
He went crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was buying all kinds of stuff. I mean, we ended up with an $8,000 scale. And I'm like, really?
It's a BMI scale. Measures your body fat.
Gotcha. Yeah. And
it's an $8,000 scale.
Yeah. What's your body fat, Eddie?
Right now, probably about 13.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. You were in the health and fitness industry. I think we talked before. You were a former kind of a bodybuilder at one point, yeah?
I started in high school as an athlete, and mm-hmm. I graduated high school. I was a really skinny guy, all legs. I was a runner.
Yeah.
And it took me about 3 years to get fit into bodybuilding. I was following all the bodybuilding lifestyles, eating that, and I learned a lot about how to build a body. I got so fit that people thought I did steroids, of course.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do it naturally.
No.
Like that. No.
HGH?
No.
No?
I was young. I was 20. I
yeah,
was
okay.
18, 19, 20. So I know what it takes. It takes a lot of dedication. It takes a lot of work. It takes heavy lifting. It takes a lot.
Yeah.
So when I started getting too big, I started losing my athleticism.
Yeah.
I like to be riding my bike. I like to, move around, jump, do sports. So I stopped bodybuilding, and I stuck more into just the athletic aspect of fitness.
Yeah.
And that's when I was introduced to cycling indoors, which I thought was a joke as a cyclist outdoors. And
did
I
you
realized,
introduce him to that?
No.
No.
There's a huge benefit. Huge benefit for doing indoor cycling. And coming back to the uniqueness question, mm-hmm. it's the ability to provide you've been doing this for a long time yourself. You do it in your yoga class. You give them that personal attention.
You're talking to Jill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jill's been in the industry a long time too. So you know, it's not about standing on stage and performing.
No.
You know, that's not the service we provide. It's about helping everybody at every level. Some people get it. Some people need a little bit more help. And it's like having a personal trainer at your class helping you do something that anybody can do. So
yeah, that you're really present for the members, for the students.
Yeah.
And you show up for them, not for ourselves. By the way, I'm supposed to say hello to you from all the old students over at the Renaissance.
Oh,
they miss you
them.
When you left. They were so sad.
Well, tell them they
class.
Can come over to cut for
right.
And I just started teaching a class.
Oh, did you?
Yes, that's
she taught
different.
Her first class yesterday.
Well, let's back up. Now, you were always, you had mentioned before, you were always sort of an athlete. You'd played sports and
yeah,
such.
Yeah.
And you were always into health and fitness, but not professionally in any way.
No.
Yeah.
No. So, Eddie's been kind of on me about, you know, this was my dream to have the studio, and why don't you teach a class? He's working his butt off, and it's not that easy to find great instructors, we're finding.
Yeah.
So I've been training with Eddie and some of the instructors to do a 30-minute booty cut class.
Ooh.
Excellent.
So I taught my first class yesterday.
How'd it go?
It was nerve-wracking. I had Eddie there for backup. He was on the floor checking everybody's form. I think the hardest thing for me is to actually learn how to find that balance of teaching the class, coaching the class, and talking and motivating and not being out of breath and like
so
dying.
Many elements.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to it. Like, you have to be engaged. You have to get them motivated. You have to show them the workouts and like
coach them
and then be on the floor and try to correct their form. And there's so much going on. And when you know, you're just learning, it's like, I had notes next to my bench.
Sure.
I had no. Eddie's like, you got to put those notes away. I'm like,
no.
Were you more nervous doing that than you would have been doing the reality TV, do you think?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was scary. But I could see, like, there's got to be, like, something called the instructor's high, because you're up there and you're like, the music's going, and those mics make you sound very sexy.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. They have, like, this deep, sexy voice. And I'm like, ooh. That's me.
Next time, honey.
Okay, thank you. But I love that you're talking about this, because there's a huge misconception that to be in our industry, especially at that, oh, it's easy. Anyone can get up there and teach.
I know.
It is not.
It's not easy at all.
It takes a lot of skill, and you have to count.
Well, the one first thing, yes.
You have to count.
And the first thing I told Eddie afterwards is, I go, you need to give our instructors a raise.
Absolutely. And I'll come over
you realize
then.
Yeah. How difficult it is.
Well,
it's
we pay a lot. It would pay it for the industry.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Did you find that more people gravitated towards your class because you were teaching it?
Yeah. Definitely.
Well,
so people
tell
who
about
are,
your audience.
No, I can't.
Oh, okay.
It's a show thing. I can't talk
about it. Oh, okay. But, I mean, people who live in the area. Hello. McFly.
Hi.
People who live in the area, I got to believe, they know you have the fitness facility in Rancho Santa Margarita. People don't necessarily travel a long distance for a health club,
right.
But some do. But you're probably drawing mostly from the surrounding community, Rancho Santa Margarita, Rita, Codo, and some of those communities. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
The majority of our members, yeah.
Yeah. And do you think they're gravitating because they know you got the platform of the Real House?
Sure.
Force? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we can bring them in. Well,
I
no,
disagree.
I agree.
You disagree?
I agree.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, this is what I think. When we first opened up the studio, of course, it was documented on the show.
Yeah.
So we had people from all over. We had people from Huntington Beach, Fountain Valley that
Riverside.
Were coming in and taking Riverside, coming in and taking our classes.
Yeah.
Now, of course, they're coming because they want to meet us.
That's true.
It's what members you maintain. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
what you want. Do we want the members in Costa Mesa? Well, if we can maintain them, but, you know, it's the ones that come in and they just want to meet us, and that's fine, too.
Right.
That's fine. We're open to that. But the majority is local, and they're consistent.
And so pre-sales went pretty quickly for you, Eddie, when you guys were making the sales, and then has the sustaining of the membership been pretty good for you guys?
Yeah. It's sustaining itself. We're learning the curves and the off seasons and how to prepare for that.
Katie, you know, our intern, Katie Fetters, her parents own a fitness facility, two or three, I think. We were just talking to her about
that.
And my buddy, Steve, and his wife in Priest, they own the Ms. Fitness Club out in Fountain Valley. And they've been at it maybe 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
But they tell me it's a lot of work.
Oh, my God.
A lot of work, constantly managing, constantly having to be on the premises to take care of things.
It's like babysitting.
A lot more work than reality TV.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's hard.
I leave at 5 in the morning, and I'm home about 8 or 9.
Really?
Yeah. That'll change, though, in time when you build the right team and you find the right people that see your vision and understand what you're doing. It's about changing lives. You know?
Yeah. And I've kind of stepped away just a little bit.
Have you?
Well, a lot, actually, because I am filming a reality TV show. And I have my real estate license, and I've gotten back into real estate and I'm working with Keller Williams right now. So doing
good
a little
you.
Bit of
So that's a good question, because as you speak, you're very intelligent, very bright, you know, against what maybe a reality show wants to show.
No.
And Eddie, we know you are just brilliant. But do you like to be identified, Tamara, as the reality show person or the business person? Are you finding a nice balance?
The B word, the business person.
You know what? I think that I would like to be referred to as like an entrepreneur, because I'm doing a little bit of everything. And I do I hustle to get to make money. Like I mean, I do everything. Like, I have an eBay store. I sell my clothes. Mm-hmm. I give a part of it to charity. The other part goes into my kids' college fund.
That's amazing.
And I make a lot of money off that just because I wore the clothes on the show.
Yeah.
I do whatever I can. Like, real estate, market's a lot better now, so I'm doing that part-time. The studio, Eddie pretty much runs a studio. He's got it covered. But I'm interested in teaching classes there now. And then filming's only 4 months out of the year, and then I have press I have to do. Then I got to travel to New York. I can promote the show, and then we got about a couple months off, and then I do it all over again.
Yeah.
You know, if we're picked up. So I'm always
you're a hard worker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for
you.
I
like to think.
Yeah. We got a caller. Do we not, April?
We do.
You're listening to KX 93.5. This is the OC Caravan. Who's calling, please? And do you have a question for Eddie and Tamara?
Yes, this is Stacy.
Hi, Stacy.
And I have a question.
Sure. Hold on one sec, Stacy. We're going to put some headphones on so they can both hear. Maybe just put one on and one off. Okay, go ahead, Stacy.
Okay, so I have a question. It's a workout / I guess supplement question. Do you recommend like any special type of supplement for somebody who? I mean, I pretty much work out like 5 days a week. I'm in Texas, by the way.
Okay.
And so work out 5 days a week, but I take a BCAA, you know, powder usually before or after a workout, and I didn't know like if I'm doing it the right way because I don't have anybody really telling me what to do. So
you're asking about whether they take or recommend supplements?
Yes.
And what kind of supplements they might recommend?
Right, exactly.
Okay. Eddie or Tamara?
Hi, Emily. You know, honestly, we don't recommend too many supplements, if supplements at all. We'd like to do everything as natural as possible. There's so many companies out there that sell so many products that it gets very confusing. You really don't know what you're getting in these supplements. So if you're looking to get some advice on supplements, I'd talk to somebody who is knowledgeable and understands that world. We stay away from it because it's so complicated, and we're just afraid to put any of those chemicals in our body. For energy, we recommend, you know, natural sources like fruits, and there's a combination of foods you can take that will give you that natural energy, the pre-workout thing, if you will. And then there's certain foods that you want to eat after you work out. And again, you just find the right person that's a registered dietitian that can work with you directly and you personally, because there really is no one size fits all. You know, everybody's special in their own unique ways. We all eat different types of foods. We all have different lifestyles. Some of us drink more wine than others.
Hey! You know, Stacy, that's like a really good question. It's a really popular question. I get that on my social media all the time. And I talk about it all the time because I just don't know what the right thing to do is. So I was talking to one of my friends, Corey, and she said to me, don't do supplements. You're supplementing your nutrition. Have a healthy diet.
Okay.
Yeah,
you can never get.
Yeah,
the
and I really do, and I follow. Actually, I do follow you on Instagram and Pet Fitness too. So when y'all are posting like meals and things like that, I eat very well. I you know
that's the best thing.
Egg whites, avocado in the morning, spinach. Like I eat very well, but usually I guess I was just assuming like the amino acids of like taking a BCAA after you work out. I've always heard is like good to do. So I didn't know if it's just hearsay. You know, people saying things. So.
Yeah,
all right.
I know it's a tough one.
Any other?
Yeah, it is.
Stacy,
okay.
Thanks for calling in, and by the way, thanks for listening to OC Caravan. Have a great day.
Bye.
Yeah, thanks Stacy.
So bye.
Steroids, no. You know, we had Lauren Powers in a couple of times now. Mm-hmm. After she even got the cosmetic surgery and such, and she felt like a recovery process after the surgery, HGH helped her recover more quickly. Are you opposed? I think we've talked about this a little bit. And you have differences of opinion about HGH, human growth hormone, right? Eddie, you're sort of opposed to it, or the jury's still out for you?
The jury's still out.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that are on it for health reasons. And again, steroids are for a health purpose, but people take
HGH
advantage of it.
HGH is not a steroid, though.
I know, but it's a health purpose.
Yeah. You know, and you're kind of...
I'm kind of on the fence about it.
Yeah.
I work really closely with Dr. Lester Lee
in
Huntington Beach, yeah. And I know Lauren Powers very well, and she keeps telling me, you know, HGH is the way to go.
Yeah.
I have tried it before,
right.
And I got carpal tunnel. Like my hand, and what happens is sometimes you'll get too much fluid,
yeah.
And I just backed off. Where Dr. Lee says all you have to do is reduce it, and then you know it'll go away, or your body adjusts to it. I think the scary thing for me is not knowing. There's so much controversy about it.
Exactly.
About if you have cancer in your body, it's going to grow. And I think psychologically, it was just so scary for me.
Yeah.
And again. We don't do supplements. We don't take pills for anything. So to be injecting yourself with something, I think just psychologically to me, it was really scary.
Yeah. I wrote a book years ago with a guy named Bob Del Monteague. He was best friends with Joe Weider. And at the time, he was in his 70s. It was called Lifelong Fitness. And we were talking about diet and supplements. And he said, and you almost said it there, eat everything as close to nature as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way he lived his life. Yeah. And he was the fitness guru, he really was, you know. Hey, I want to make sure that the mic's not covering her face, by the way. We're good to go? I just want to make sure. Great. Tamara,
yes.
I want to make sure we get your face.
Right? Oh, God. This is my morning face.
You're,
beautiful.
You're my radio face.
You're a grandmother.
I am.
Congratulations,
I
by the
am
way.
A Tama.
I like it.
Is that how you refer to
Tama.
Yourself?
Tama, yeah. Yes.
And you look phenomenal. I mean, everybody knows you look phenomenal.
Thank you.
So if you had to offer up one healthy lifestyle tip for women.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah, and I know there are so many of them. I'm gonna kind of talk it out and give you a chance to think about it. Whether it's diet or whether it's just exercise or what might you recommend for people?
I think that, of course,
Hot Latin guy
helps, too, and a sex tape.
We're going to talk about that.
For me, I've always been into fitness.
Yeah.
I haven't always looked great. I went through, you know, my 30s when I was having children, and it's hard to get back on track, and, you know, I had three kids pretty close together. So I would have to say that my body probably looks better now at 47 than it did when I was in my 30s.
That's amazing.
Because I got over that. You know, being a mom's hard to find time to do things.
Yeah.
So once the kids were all in school is when I really started concentrating more on my workout.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't take it to the next level until I met Eddie. And it was all about the diet.
Truly.
Back in the day, I thought, you know, just reducing my calories, it didn't matter what my calories were. But if I had, you know, three bowls of cereal, I was doing good. I wasn't eating that much. Well, I was having no protein. It was all carbs, sugar. So now I've learned to eat healthy. Eddie and I, we have a YouTube channel, and we're going to start documenting, like, meal prep, because that's a big thing. On Sundays, what we do is it takes us about 2 hours. We prep our lunches for the week, because I feel like the lunch is the hardest thing. Because we're always out and we're working.
Yeah.
This way we can take it with us. So I have to say that diet is the most important.
Very cool.
And diet is defined as, you know, what you're eating, not limiting your calories.
Yeah.
Limiting
it doesn't mean you're on a diet.
Yeah. Right.
It's nutrient-dense food.
Food. It's preparing your food so that it's there when you're ready.
Okay.
And Botox works, too. Just saying.
Hey, so I came across this sex tape on the internet, and I see your faces drop.
What? Don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh. There's this sex tape that I heard about the two of you together. I got Eddie on this sex tape saying to you, Tamara, are you ready for this, baby? And Tamara saying, oh, yeah, I can't wait. Eddie, this is going to be rough, not a quickie. And I think I'm shortening that version a little bit, right?
No, I think you got it down. I think you watched it.
I'm not a man of many words.
Many times, have you, Scott?
Yeah, but where's the passion in the voice? That was the
good. Oh, that was good. All right. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm turning red for the first time ever.
Yeah. Yeah. So what did you think about it?
Well, first, as you say, I've watched it over and over again.
Yeah.
So what's going on with this sex tape? Tell us what it's all about, really.
Well, we've been talking about launching a YouTube channel for a year now. And basically, we get so many emails saying, can you open up a Cup Fitness in Texas and Utah, everywhere? And, of course, we can't. I mean, I'd love to, but it's not happening right now. So we decided we were going to give a little bit of Cup Fitness out there for free.
Yeah.
And so we have a YouTube channel that just launched last week. And I thought, how can we launch it that people are going to like, go, oh my God, I have to watch this. I need to subscribe. So I came up with a sex tape.
That's fine.
I mean, there's so many celebrities. Let's face it, Kim Kardashian, who she is, because she did a sex tape.
Sure.
And I didn't want to do a sex tape. I wanted to do like a spoof on a sex tape.
Yeah.
So that's what we did. And we got so many hits, so many subscribers. And it was just, I think it was genius.
It was beautiful. Yeah, it was beautiful. Did you participate in the creative end of doing that? Did you guys do it yourself? Or did you bring in a professional crew to kind of help you film that? Or what?
Well, actually, we hooked up with a group that does YouTube online already. They have a lot of experience,
okay.
And they know they are great at editing. Like I said earlier,
yeah.
It's just it's not so much how you film it, but how you cut it and
how
edit
you edit it.
It.
I know that.
Yeah. Were you game for the spoof?
We were laughing our butts off the whole time.
Oh, my God. It was hilarious.
It was hard to keep a straight face.
Eddie had a hat on when we first started, and Jay, the producer's like, he's like, no, you need to take that off. I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to have hat hair. So it ended up working. He had this messy, sexy bed hair, and it was just, it was good. And Eddie was, his acting was very good.
Yeah.
Eddie. Yeah. I was a little worried about him, because when he gets in front of the cameras at the on the show, he just clams up.
Yeah.
I do.
So this YouTube channel, talked a little about what the purpose of the YouTube channel is, and also you're starting to create now your own exercise videos, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk to me about what's going on there?
So our goal is to reach out to all our audience. We have, like she said earlier, we have people wanting studios in the UK, Australia, Canada.
Dubai.
We just can't reach out that far right now. But there's one way to do it, and that's on YouTube. We're going to provide fitness tips. We're going to provide nutrition tips. Just kind of our lifestyle, how we live to stay healthy and you know, share that with the world.
I've got to believe that's set aside the reality TV platform that has done so well for you in a number of ways. I got to believe this is a natural extension of that platform in your lifestyles.
Yeah.
And that's just going to grow and grow and grow. Is there a business model associated with that YouTube channel or those videos yet? Have you figured that out?
There is. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's definitely, I mean, anything you do, you want to make money at it so that you can sustain it.
Yeah.
And the thing that doesn't lose money, you can't sustain. So
that's true.
There is a business model. Essentially, as we grow, we're going to have advertisers pay for the free videos and help us get this message out there.
Good for you. Congratulations
that's a great
on
idea.
That.
Yeah.
You got a new season coming up? Is that with the Housewives?
Yes, we have a new season
okay.
10.
Okay.
This is our big season. We have some new faces. We have some old faces.
Really old.
Really, really. Now he's calling me
old.
Ouch. I'm not the oldest.
You.
Not me. Okay. Be nice. See, he's into the drama now.
Yeah.
He's getting in the drama. We just had our big trip. It was amazing. There's a lot to look forward to. I become a grandmother. We document the birth of the baby.
Oh,
we had cameras in the hospital. We have a lot to show.
Good.
You know, a lot to show this year.
Are you going to be back for next season?
Well, let's get through season 10.
You got it.
And then if there's a season 11, I mean, yes, it's going to pretty soon to be the real grandmas of Orange County. Let's face it.
On that note.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, thank you both for coming in.
Oh, thanks
guys
for having us. Thank
Eddie and Tamara, the Real Housewives of Orange County. Cut Fitness in Rancho Santa Margarita. Check them out on their new YouTube channel. Look for that sex tape. I've seen it several times myself. You're going to love it. I'm Scott Hayes. This is OC Caravan. April, take us out of here with a little music.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Sometimes we give, sometimes we won't.